Today we have a story of an incident that took place yesterday afternoon in the south end of our county, and I call it the Tale of Two Idiots. I do want to give a shout out to Mr. Barnes. If he hears this back in my jail, thank you for tattooing your face like that, because it made it easy for us.
You know, law enforcement folks, and our sheriff, Bob Johnson, is certainly no exception to that, do sometimes have a flair for expression. Sheriff Johnson from Santa Rosa County joins us on the phone now. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well. A tale of two idiots, a high-speed chase. You had a deputy get a broken arm in this deal, right?
We did, and we also had a deputy last night get a broken arm in a fight, so it's not been a good week for us.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for people who do not, let's start with the one from Thursday. High-speed chase, lives endangered, but these guys have enormous rap sheets. How frustrating is it to you that we can't just figure out a way to keep these guys behind bars?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people have asked me since then, well, why don't the judges do something about this? And it's not a judge thing. They're mandated by statute that people have to score a certain number of points, and you get a certain number of points for misdemeanor and felony, blah, blah, blah. And so it's something to do with the laws being passed in Tallahassee, and they need to be fixed because, yeah, you shouldn't have a guy with 47 felony arrests out on the road, you know, doing stupid stuff. And something that I didn't address in the press conference was when they questioned Mr. Barnes after the pursuit and everything, and they talked to him about running so much from the police. He's been in so many high-speed pursuits. They said, if you get out of prison, you're going back to the same, you know, lifestyle? He goes, oh, yeah, you'll see me again.
Ugh, unbelievable. I just
Yeah.
And then, as you mentioned, you know, you had one deputy in that arrest to get a broken arm. And then what happened last night? You had a fight where the deputy got a broken arm again?
Yeah, it was up in Milton. They responded to a call. And, of course, the guy was, we believe he was, you know, on dope and, you know, wasn't following instructions. They had to go hands-on. Next thing you know, the fight breaks out and all through the place. And, yeah, he ended up with a broken arm, which the guy still got taken down and got put in the custody, which is a good thing, but it's always a bummer to get one of your deputies injured.
Well, and I think what people who are not involved in fighting on a regular basis or physical, you know, use of force, and don't realize how common it is, you know, broken ribs, sprained thumbs, all that kind of, that's just, unfortunately, that comes with the territory, which never makes it right. But to me, that's sort of more context on what policing involves and how, from the police officer's point of view, you know, every encounter that involves force is an unknown, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you never know who you're dealing with. The guy could be, you know, a martial arts instructor or an ex, you know, Green Beret or something. You never know. And the main thing that we impart to our officers and most officers abide by is the last thing you want to do is to go hands-on. I mean, you try everything else first, and then at the very last, you know, thing, you go hands on. And it's always, you know, people don't think of it this way, but we do. We're a consequence. You know, we're not going to go hands on with you unless you cause it. So, you know, it's we're just a consequence of somebody's actions.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened in Minneapolis, because I know, you know, it's not your agency. You're not responsible for what was done there.
No.
But there's a lot of questions that people have about what is being done, for example, at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office to train deputies in the proper use and not excessive use of force. Things like that knee on neck hold that clearly caused harm enough that was in conjunction with the death that now that man, that former officer has been charged. What sort of things do you train officers that are maybe different than that, or, you know, how do you train them to properly use force in the state of Florida?
Yeah, and we have guidelines through FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, that we abide by, and we do defensive tactics training, and we do training on arrests and things of that nature. And I'll tell you, looking at that video, that was pretty disturbing. You know, anybody that would do that doesn't need to be a cop, number one. And number two, hopefully he will get convicted, because there's no need for that. If the guy's handcuffed, if he's on the ground and he's handcuffed and he starts trying to get up or whatever, you can put a knee on him, but you put the knee in the lower back or you put your hand on his back and press down. I mean, there's no need for to be up around the head and neck area. And another thing, if you watch that video, that officer just standing there, he's not doing anything. He's watching. He's an issue, too. I mean, if that was two of my deputies, both of them would have been fired. That other deputy should be, or other officer in this case, should go over to him and say, get your knee off his neck. It's not that difficult to do, you know. So, and he didn't do that. He just stood there and watched the guy basically die.
It's horrifying. But that's exactly the point, is that, you know, it's within the realm of understanding that an officer in the heat of the moment can make marginal judgments. And part of the value of having another officer there is they can correct him on something like that. There's, as you say, there's no reason that the other officers couldn't have intervened, especially over the course of 8 minutes. I mean, 8 minutes of this behavior. But one of the things that I'm kind of curious about, just kind of how you do this, is it seems to me that a person who likes to use force, a person who wants to get in there and mix it up, who likes to exert power over other people, is a person who might be attracted to certain professions. You know, they might be attracted to the military, perhaps. They might be attracted to, you know, law enforcement, perhaps. How do you identify that kind of a person and make sure they don't wind up getting a badge? Or what do you do to curtail those kind of impulses with deputies?
Yeah, and in our profession, it's pretty easy to see those people rather quickly, because in my agency, when you get hired, you graduate the police academy and you get hired, you have 4 months of riding with other deputies, field training officers. You have 4 months of that. And in 4 months, you're going to get a volume of calls, and we're really going to see the personality of that officer on those calls. And our FTOs are trained, very highly trained, than more so than the average officer. And they look for that. They look for the guy that's like, you know, kind of vengeful kind of guy, the guy that wants to exert power, walks around, you know, hey, I've got a badge, you don't. They look for that. And we get rid of them pretty quickly.
Well, that's good. And that's because I think, you know, when I watch this, obviously it's very easy to see racism if you want to see it. But I see at the very least the kind of person who is eager to use force. And that obviously concerns me as well. Sheriff, one of the things, you know, and we have seen this more and more in recent years in these protests that become riots. The effort to shut down thoroughfares, shut down even in Mobile. They tried to shut down I-10. Here, though, everything has been peaceful in Pensacola. There was a brief shutdown of even Bayfront Parkway at the bridge in 17th. I'm a driver. I come up upon a group of people that have shut down a roadway. What are my rights? What am I able to do? What am I not allowed to do at that point? What kind of recourse do I have if that's going on?
Well, in all actuality, you have no recourse other than to call law enforcement. Once we get there, we're obligated to disperse the crowd if they're blocking traffic. But as you, just sitting there, you can't drive into them or anything like that. You have to just sit there. Now, I have seen on the news where people are coming up to cars, breaking windows, pulling people out, that kind of thing. Obviously, you can defend yourself. Somebody comes up to your car, breaks a window, lays hands on you, you do what you got to do. If you have a firearm and kill them, you know, oh well, sorry for them. They shouldn't be doing what they're doing. But, as for just being blocked in traffic, you have no recourse other than to call us.
All right, well, that's what I figured the answer was, but it's the kind of question I know a lot of other people would have, and I wanted to make sure to give you a chance to kind of comment on it. And the last thing I wanted to ask you is, what has your organization been doing to keep the peace, to watch protests, to be available? What kind of, you know, I don't want to get you into strategy and tactics, but, you know, what kind of preparations have you been making in case things come here and get out of hand in our area?
Okay, I lost you on that. Can you say that question again?
Oh, yeah. No, what kind of preparations have you been making for the possibility that things get out of hand in Santa Rosa County? God forbid, hopefully not, but what if?
I can't hear you, Andrew. I may have to call you back.
Oh, no worries. Well, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, sorry we had a little bit of a connection problem right there at the end, but if you can hear me, you know I appreciate the work that you do in keeping us safe. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's 819 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.